The year that I turned 3, I slept in a bedroom that was known to be haunted. Returning to that room now, in memory, I am a bystander looking in, through an open doorway, at a young girl lying in a sleigh bed with a tall headboard. She is yellow-haired and motionless, wearing a flannel nightgown. She holds the neck of a small plush lamb in the curl of her palm. The sheets on her bed are white and aglow in the blackness of the night room. The air is chilled and still. The child has many blankets on her bed to keep her warm. She appears to be asleep. I enter the room and move closer to the child. I see her blink. She is awake, her gaze fixated on a spot overhead. This is where the inky fluid mass has materialized, seeping in from the corner of the room above where the bed has been snugged against the wall. She has not seen a stingray in her life, but when she does, 20 years from now, in the Caribbean, she will recognize something in the ocean creature, in its darkness and its size, and also in its rippled movement. The inkblot is made of air, or water, or maybe gas. Some might argue that it is conjured of mind or spirit, but to the small girl, it is matter. It is part of the physical universe. There is no urgency to its visit. It bides its time as it quivers in the dark, making its presence silently known. But eventually, as she knows it will, the inky mass speaks to her in a breathy hiss. It declares itself in a language that is either French or English or some other form of communication that is not linguistic. It says every time, "Emily, go get your mother." The small girl does not move. I don't move now. Across the years between us, 43, we remain stilled in fear. The haunted bedroom was in an 18th century stone house in the small village of Flavigny-sur-Ozerain in Burgundy, France, where I lived with my mother and father during the year that my father was on sabbatical from his job as a professor of fine arts. The house belonged to my father's colleague, Virgil Burnett, an artist who was a professor in the same department as my father, and his wife Anne, who was a classics scholar. They had 2 daughters, Maud and Melissa, who were about a decade older than I was. The Burnetts lived in the house in France part-time when Virgil and Anne were not teaching, and the rest of the year they offered their home to a roster of academics and artists and their families. My mother tells me that moving to Flavigny was like time travel. The house sits in the center of a walled medieval village set high on a hill. It has a working seminary. Young monks in black robes wandered the cobblestone streets and played soccer in the meadow at the edge of town, just off a trail that led to an ancient but still working stone washhouse. Every home in the village came with a garden plot outside the wall. Farmers shepherded their cattle through an 11th century stone gate every morning, returning home before sunset. Only some streets were passable by car. Later, when I began studying folklore, Flavigny was the place my mind conjured when the hero set off on a long journey. After passing through the medieval gates, they would descend into the Burgundian hills and disappear into their quest.